flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
All right, it's 4:05 on DGS. Dave out today. Be back on Monday. The rest of the crew is here. And obviously doing our normal thing until we get to the top of the hour at 5 o'clock. Bernie Miklas is our normal Friday guest. And I want to remind everybody, you should go to YouTube. Go to the Bernie Miklas Show, the Bernie Show on Twitter, on YouTube, and follow the show. Subscribe to the show. Do the same thing on the KMOX Sports YouTube page to follow the Gas House Gang, and you'll get the best of all worlds. You get all the best of Bernie, the best of the rest of us talking sports, and we do it every single day on the Gas House Gang. And Bernie's you're doing more than one a day usually on the Bernie Show.
Well, you know, sometimes I would never call myself lazy, but sometimes I just run out of time to do another one the way I want to. But it's usually it's always good for one a day, and I'm trying to mix it up a little more. I did a tribute to the 1999 Super Bowl Rams yesterday in my only video, and disappointingly, it didn't really draw many viewers.
Really?
We as a sports town are in a really, really bizarre place when it comes to NFL, as you know, man, because we've talked about it.
Yeah.
But I had a guy tell me under the comment section, it's like, well, yeah, that was a great team, but I'm not going to watch the video because I'm not going to invest my time because of what Stan Kroenke in the NFL did. And I said, well. Oh, and what the Kansas City Chiefs owner did. And I said, what in the heck does that have to do with the 1999 Rams? Those players and coaches didn't move the team. Kroenke didn't own the team. Georgia Frontier did. And what does the Chiefs ownership have to do with the 1999 Rams winning a Super Bowl, which was one of the greatest moments in the history of St. Louis sports? See, this stuff has gotten just so crazy with some people. I don't even know what to say anymore.
Well, it's also fascinating because, as we know, like, the NFL still gets great TV ratings here.
I know.
Like, the Chiefs games get tremendous ratings, but even just in general, St. Louis outperforms the average market when it comes to viewership on NFLs on Sunday, for example.
Yeah, well, exactly. You know, and the Chiefs are a huge draw. We talked about that today on Gas House Gang with Matt Pauley, and Dan Caesar has written a lot about it. And, you know, my point is, like, people, they don't have to watch the NFL. They don't have to watch the Chiefs. They don't have to like anything. But what I get tired of, and I think I speak for a lot of people, is like, you don't get to tell me what I want to watch or what I can watch or what I will watch. That's my business. But how in the world could anybody who's a rational, mature adult take something so beautiful like the 1999 Rams?
Yeah.
And basically have a fit and go into another tirade about Kroenke, the Chiefs owner, the NFL. The 99 Rams had nothing to do with any of that. They were a wonderful team that did a great, great thing for football fans in St. Louis.
Yeah, I would note that the top 10 television shows ranked in St. Louis in 2024 were all NFL games, and most of those were Chiefs games, but they were NFL games. Like, the eighth most watched television show in St. Louis this year was Tampa Bay and Detroit.
That's I wouldn't have picked that one. I wouldn't have predicted that one.
Yeah. Another one was Detroit and San Francisco. That was number five. Like, that's, it, you know.
Yeah. That's not one I would have called in advance. But, Kevin, those figures, all of that must be wrong. Dan Caesar must be making all this up. Because we know, and you're telling lies too. See?
Yeah.
Because we know that everybody in St. Louis hates the NFL and the Chiefs. So all you media people are making these numbers up.
It's the way it goes sometimes. It's the way it goes. So Matt Pauly joined us a little bit earlier today, Bernie. So we're getting both of you guys from the Gas House Gang today separately here on the show. And Matt and I talked a bit more about what you guys mentioned today related to the reset and, you know, fans not necessarily seeing the on-field reset at the major league level. But Matt brought up the minor league level and obviously player development being completely revamped by Chaim Bloom. You and I have talked about this in the past, but not necessarily live here on DGS. I think it's an important thing to talk about the resetting of the major league payroll as well, because most people see, and I understand this, in normal times, a reduction in payroll as a negative. I would too in normal times, but this is not normal. This is a transition of power from the Mozeliak era to Chaim Bloom. And even Mo has acknowledged that kind of clearing the deck, so to speak, for Bloom is part of what they're doing this year. And when you take into account the payroll being down this year compared to it was last year, and you take into account the contracts that expire after this year, that could leave Bloom with, you know, essentially $80, $90, $100 million of payroll space with which he can put his own signature on this roster moving forward.
No doubt about it. And that's why, you know, no one has to listen to my advice, because I don't always have to listen to everyone else's advice. But, you know, for all the, like, the rage farmers out there, you know, on social media, you know, what do we call them? Rage merchants, rage farmers.
Yeah, I call them, yeah. I mean, rage farming seems to be the term of the day.
Well, you know, just hold on to that for a year, because as Kevin Wheeler just pointed out, after the 2025, the Cardinals will have all kinds of payroll space to bring in whoever, pretty much, not whoever they want, but to bring in really good talent. And Bill DeWitt told me way back when he hired Jeff Luhnow, which was a tremendous success, player development in minor leagues, the draft, everything got better. He said the key is to have a real, like, really, really strong payroll efficiency, because you have enough homegrown players to contribute to your roster, and then you top it off with real star players and star talent. Yeah. And that's what he did. And he's told me again with this reset, he said the key is to get this thing going again with player development, where we got a lot of really good players coming up and they're ready to play. And then we will add to it. And Bill DeWitt III said that at the winter warmup. So what the Cardinals are saying they're going to do, they've done it in the past. They're not making it up. It comes from their own experience in what was a great era of Cardinals baseball. So, look, if you want to get angry about stuff, get angry that they let the farm system, player development system, fall apart. Never should have happened. And get angry if next season they continue to be really, 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 really conservative about spending money. Not that they should throw it away next offseason.
Yeah, and you don't need to spend it all in one offseason either, right? You just spread it out, but you do it where it makes sense.
But they should make more impact in free agency next year. I don't think there's anything about it. So just hold off on the performance artistry on X for a while, you know? You don't have to be Rage Against the Machine every time you tweet, all right?
Even though Rage Against the Machine is pretty awesome.
Yeah. Oh, they are.
Yeah.
But in the sports vernacular, you don't have to be Rage Against the Machine every time you put something on X.
All right. So anyway, let's do a quick thing. Just, you know, maybe it's a little too nerdy. Maybe it's not. I don't know. But, like, when you're looking at the young players, because, you know, you've described this beautifully when we've done the Gas House Gang. When you look back at the great Cardinals teams, you had superstars that you were paying superstar money for their time, right? Albert and Yadi and Waino and Chris Carpenter and Matt Holliday, right? You had that, but but it was always surrounded by these great young players that were inexpensive, fundamentally sound, the John Jays, Daniel Descalzos, the young cheap pitchers, Waka, Shelby Miller, Carlos Martinez, and that's where we want to get back to. It looks like within the next, I would say, what would you say, Bernie, by mid-2026 at the latest, you're looking. We will have seen Quinn Matthews and J.J. Weatherholt and Tink Hentz and Jimmy Crooks, these guys that can really be a part of that supporting of those bigger contract type players, those proven players, and guys who might even be some of that in their own right down the road.
No doubt about it. There's a good wave of young pitching talent coming, and I think that there will be some outfield talent on the way soon enough with Chase Davis. I'm not predicting any time for arrival, but I think all these guys will actually be helped by having much better instructions and a lot more teaching, up-to-date facilities, all the technology, which will only speed them up. But they've got, you know, J.J. Weatherholt, they've got catchers coming up. They've got a couple of fielders. I would put Sejacy in their group in terms of infielders. And, you know, and if you even look lower, I don't want to get too far, but if you go down to even they have a 17-year-old shortstop.
Yeah, I just retweeted it just a little bit ago from Baseball America.
Yeah. The Baseball America and Baseball Prospectus are going gaga
yeah.
over this guy.
So his name is Yaro Padilla.
The thing that we talk about, and it needs to be restated many times, because I always have people ask me, so, well, Bernie, you write about how they have these top-ranked prospects and more prospects. Well, I don't understand. Why do they have to fix things down below? Everything's going great. They're drafting good players, which misses the point entirely. It isn't drafting good players. It's how you develop them for the major leagues.
Right.
You know, and there's a huge difference between the two.
Yeah. One of them is they've done okay identifying players, but the finished product isn't showing up at the major league level. Right. And they're also, by the way, I think we could point this out too as part of this, the development in Major League Baseball 2025, and you know this has been going on for a few years, but the development doesn't stop when you get to the majors because guys are reaching the majors younger than ever before. So you have to develop as a major leaguer as well.
Yeah, but you should at least have it, and whatever time you have to get an education in the minors, it should be an advanced education.
Yes. Yeah, you should be getting a master's at least.
Like, you know, just a little example that I've talked about 1,000 times. When you trade for Nolan Arenado and he's going to be your third baseman for a long time, you know, well, now it's a little different. But at the time they made the trade, he was going to be their third baseman for a long time. As soon as you make the trade, one of the first calls you make is to the player, of the director of the farm system. You say, all right, Jordan Walker is going to have third base. That's Nolan Arenado. Let's get him in the outfield ASAP, mm-hmm. starting in 2021. Let's get him in the outfield, give him plenty of time to develop in the outfield so he's ready when he comes to the major leagues. Did they do that? No. They didn't come close to doing that. They started to play him in the outfield like the final 5 weeks of the 2022 season in the minors, and then they dumped him in right field in the major leagues to begin the following season. That's a classic example of what we're talking about.
100%.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Helps turn on your microphone. I just started talking into nothing. Back in on the DGS. Hey, I got to say, forget Throwback Thursday. I'm all about the Flashback Friday today. Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, why not? Why not do Flashback not? Friday?
We could be way back Wednesday.
We could do this every day
Talk
if we
back
wanted
Tuesday.
To.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, back on Monday.
Mo back Monday. Mo back than ever.
160 years ago in 1865, the 13th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution abolished slavery in America. That is wild that it was only 160 years ago.
And think about how many, I mean, and by the way, slavery still exists in the world.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. In places like that's just crazy at this point that people, like the rest of the world, is like, well, that's just happening there, so whatever.
Mm-hmm. 64 years ago in 1961, Ham the chimp was the first animal the United States sent into space.
His name was Ham?
His name was Ham. And he was launched 157 miles above Earth. He survived after a 16.5-minute flight. His space capsule was recovered from the ocean before he could drown. Now, this was his only flight. Ham then lived the rest of his life in a cushy zoo, and a human astronaut went to space 3 months later.
You think that guy had some stories for his fellow chimps? Yeah, he's like, let me tell you something.
They're like, yeah, yeah. Okay.
They put me in this little thing, and they shot me into space. It's crazy.
49 years ago in 1976, Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback Terry Bradshaw launched a short-lived country music career with the release of I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry. The song actually reached number 17 on the country charts.
Was it good? You're asking the wrong person.
I like Terry Bradshaw.
Yeah, I like him. He's funny. He's got a good personality and all that. I'm not sure that that would have happened had he not been a football star.
Right. 37 years ago in 1988, The Wonder Years premiered on ABC. You like that show, Wheels?
Never watched one episode.
All right.
And no, you know, it's crazy, though. But like, you would think I would have, right? Age was perfect or close to. When did it start?
1988.
Yeah, you know what? I would have been just too old to care about what some little crappy kid thought.
Yeah.
You know, I was 17 at the time, so I'm like, yeah, sorry. Don't care about you and what's her name? Winnie?
Winnie.
Yeah, don't care.
35 years ago in 1990, that hurt saying that, the first McDonald's opened in the Soviet Union.
Oh my God, I remember that. I don't remember like the specifics of it, but like that it opened up to the West, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
McDonald's.
They stopped operating in Russia in 2022 due to the invasion of Ukraine.
Oh, look at that. I did not realize that. Good for you, Ronald.
And one more flashback Friday for you. 15 years ago, Taylor Swift won Album of the Year for Fearless at the 52nd Grammy Awards. Single Ladies was Song of the Year, that's Beyonce. Use Somebody, Kings of Leon, was Record of the Year. And the Zac Brown Band took home Best New Artist.
Don't know any of those.